19th, 2015. Women in ICANN, Internet and ICTs, Opportunities in Low Hall 2. The session will run from 3:15 p.m. to 4:45 p.m. local time.
We will start in a few minutes. So if those of you that are seated in the other rows, you want to join us, this is a group of friends. We want to exchange some ideas, some experiences, and move forward from there. So feel free to join us. We still need some space for two or three panelists more, but we can put another chair here, no problem. Thank you, and thank you for joining us. I see we have a very nice group of nice ladies and one brave man, or more than one. One brave man, two brave men. Yes. And there another one brave man.
Oh, God, I just want to know that they're ISOC men. Okay.
Oh. What does it mean? The boss is here, so they have to be there.
They're real men.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much for being with us. We still miss Asha Ahem Rajani. She's a member of the GAC. The board. I'm sorry. She's a member of the board, and we met. I didn't know her from before, and we met in Buenos Aires. The ISOC Argentina chapter and other organizations, we organized the breakfast that we had this morning there. And she came to me, and she said that she was interested in finding some space to discuss the involvement of women in science, technology, and mathematics careers. And I told her that I do that in Argentina, in the National Center of Engineers. We work with young women in trying to promote the career. We do that also, not specifically through the chapter of ISOC, but I thought this morning that the ISOC chapter of Argentina could be a good host of a women DNS in Argentina initiative. Yeah. So we have the chapter. Why create another chapter? Yeah. We have a sub-chapter of the chapter. Yeah. So that idea came to me. I have to talk with our board, of course, but I think it could be good to have that momentum. And other thing that we would like to review and exchange some ideas with you is how could we improve not only the involvement of women in technology careers, which we think it's an opportunity. I don't know where you live. I live in Argentina. And there, some industries cannot grow because there are not enough human resources. Like, for example, software development, ICT companies. And I know for my son, he's an ICT audit. And he changes work very quickly. And always he gets a rise in his salary because he has a lot of demand. And I told him, you're very lucky. When I was young, I had no such demand of work. But Asha, yeah, you made it. Some industries are not growing because we don't have enough human resources. And a country for being developed, we need technicians to do the technology work. So we think that that's a great opportunity for women. Hi, dear. No problem. And it's a well-paid work. It's usually international career. You can develop an international career. You can work in your country, in other countries. So we think it's an opportunity for women. So I personally don't go for the complaining or of not having women there. I go for the opportunity that we have for young women in going towards those careers. And other thing that we wanted to exchange experiences and ideas with you is what can we do to enhance the gender balance in the leadership positions in ISTAR organizations, in internet governance organizations. So if you look at the board of ISTAR organizations, it's far away from gender balance. What happened is that women don't apply for those positions, is that women don't know. Maybe they don't get the information. They are not interested. I think that's my personal opinion. There was a time that there were maybe less women prepared for that. I think that time has gone. I think that there are enough well-prepared professional women that could handle technical information, technical positions, or policy positions in different organizations. especially related with internet governance. So what happens when the time comes that this this is not reflected in the number of women in those in the board of ICANN, in the board of ISOC, in the board of the RARs, in the different regions of the world? So these are some things that we want to exchange with you. And I will give the floor to my dear friend Asha. Maybe you can introduce the panelists. Is that a good idea? I have everything.
Thank you, Olga. My name is Asha Hemrajani. I'm on the ICANN board. I apologize for being late. I was in the CCW right when they were discussing my pet subject on the budget. And as I am a member of the finance committee, I had to be there. So I apologize. So I don't know. I don't want to repeat what you said, Olga, but I had some statistics I wanted to share because I feel so strongly about this. First of all, I want to say thank you to all of you for coming, and thank you for the three brave men in this room.
There are more there.
More?
Nigel, yes.
Four brave men, five brave men. Thank you. We're not gender balanced in this room, but...
We tried.
But we did try, yes. And but the idea is that we want to be gender balanced outside of this room. I thought maybe I'll just start off with a few comments, a few remarks, and then maybe we could tell you a little bit about the panelists that we have invited for today. And then we'll kick off the discussions with a bunch of questions that, burning questions that I would like to hear in every panelist speak on. So I'll start off with my own background. My background is that after arguing with my father that girls don't study engineering, I decided, yes, I'm going to study engineering because he said I shouldn't. And not because I knew what engineering was really all about, was what it was about. I just thought good-looking boys were studying engineering. And there was this really awesome, cute boy that I really wanted to go out on a date with. So I said, all right, I'm going to study the exact same thing that he was going to study, which was electrical engineering. Not that I knew what it was about. But I did that, and I got a scholarship to go to engineering school. I was very fortunate. I went to a school which was one quarter women. And this is many years ago. I know I look young, but I'm not. One quarter women, female engineers, female engineering students, which is very high. And I was never made to feel that I was different or that I shouldn't study engineering. After that, I became a radio network engineer. I spent 20 over years in the mobile telecommunications field, working on radio network engineering and design and planning, and bringing mobile internet to both very dense cities as well as big, large rural areas in developing countries. That's my background. And last year, I was appointed to the ICANN board. Now, I was never made aware of the fact that I was a minority while I was in this industry. Until one day, somebody said to me, oh, Asha, you can't be a radio engineer. You don't know how to feel radio waves. Only men know how to feel radio waves, and they can understand where to build understand how to build mobile phone networks. And that to me was a wake-up call, and I realized that, my goodness, on my left and on my right, there were no other women. I was the first female engineer when I entered my company. I was the last female engineer when I left my company, because not only was there not enough of a pipeline of women engineers coming into engineering, there was also no sustainability for women staying in the technology field. So, and then I began to look at these two topics. So one is the pipeline and one is the sustainability. There are STEM education is very is abysmal, in an abysmal state. In the 80s, there was 40% of women who would be pursuing degrees, undergraduate degrees in computer science. In the United States, that number has dropped to 18%. I've done some rough studies on number of women who retain their careers in technology. In Asia, it tends to be within 8 years, they drop out of technology. 8 years or less. In the North America, it's 10 years, which is very, very bad. So these are the two things I would very much like to hear everybody speak on, address what you feel can be done to improve the state of STEM education for girls, and what you think can be done to make sure women stay in technology careers, in addition to the topics that Olga mentioned. So with that, I think that's enough talking on my part. Maybe I would like to introduce the, or perhaps we can take turns, introduce, because we have so many panelists.
Unfortunately, Kathy Kleiman, she was going to join us. She has a very nice video about women and technology, but she had to leave. She had a problem in her family. Maybe I can start with, Cyranoush, we are so proud to have you here, my dear. I was surprised. I was so happy to know that you were there. I met Cyranoush in Germany in 2007 in the first school that was organized there. From there, we got the idea of doing it in Latin America, and we got very good friends since then. So I was really very happy this morning when you were awarded. Thank you for coming. Left to the right, what do you want?
Start with Fiona. On your right.
We have Fiona. Fiona is Fiona Songa, and she's the chief executive officer of Despoc. That's IXP, right? It's an internet exchange point in Kenya. And she has 11 years of experience working in ICTs in Kenya. She's a rep in the NRO and a member of ASO, a member of ARTRT2, and currently representing ASO on the CCWG. Oh, we share that space as well. Fiona has a master's degree in information systems. And then we have Kathy Handley. She's executive director of governmental affairs of public policy for ARIN. We invited John. He is not able to come, so we wanted gender balance, but we tried. Prior to coming to ARIN, she was COTR for the IANA functions of NDIA. She spent her entire career in communications, from telecommunications to the internet. And she's a policy person, not a technologist, even though some folks she has worked with over the years took upon themselves to make sure she understood the basics. Written from her hand. Maria, you want to talk about Maria? Maria is sad because yesterday Argentina won Ireland. And honestly, I went to a bar in front of the river, and I was sad as well for it, for the Irelanders. But I was happy that Argentina won. I'm talking about rugby. So women also watch rugby. I lost Maria. I have Maria.
After a few,
Maria, you want to read Maria?
Okay. Maria Farrell on my right. Oh, pardon me. Maria Farrell on my right. She's a senior consultant at Interconnect Communications in the UK. And I'm so glad Maria is here today because she's Irish. We really wanted to make sure we got an Irish woman. And thank you, Maria, for getting this invitation. So Maria was actually deputy head of corporate affairs at ICANN. And she has worked in ICT policy and communications for the Confederation of British Industry in the UK. And the International Chamber of Commerce in Paris, like you, Aisha, and the World Bank in Washington, D.C. And Maria's been a GNSO counselor for NCUC and is on the board of UK's Open Rights Group. She teaches Oxford University PhD program, woohoo, on cybersecurity and writes fiction in her spare time. Did we?
Alisa Cooper.
Alisa Cooper, to read her CV is to put you to shame. Yes, she is a distinguished engineer at Cisco, where she's responsible for looking at privacy and policy strategy. She represents Cisco externally, and she... this sounds really... Okay, I have to read this. Real-time applications and infrastructure area director within the IETF. And she manages standardization and maintenance of key real-time technologies, including WebRTC. I just learned about that, SIP, XMPP. She's the chair of the ICG, as we all know, and she has chaired that very well indeed. my admiration. And okay, now we'll move to Kathy. Kathy on my left is president of ISOC. And she's a veteran in this industry. She's a veteran of internet policy development and initiatives that have aided internet's global expansion. Her career spans private and public and private sector. She has worked for the NTIA and the FCC, looking at policy and global social corporate social responsibility initiatives for Verizon, which was one of my customers. She has received her JD cumla sum laude from Syracuse University College of Law and her BA from Marist College. And Kathy has served on the advisory boards of the Public Interest Registry, the Empowering Development Initiative of the ITU, and the USC Annenberg Innovation Lab. And then we move to...
Oscar didn't come.
Oh, Oscar didn't come. Okay, you're not Oscar. Okay, I'm reading my reading glasses. I can't even see. I can't see your face. Sorry, I'm wearing my reading glasses.
No,
okay.
We have Vanda.
Vanda. Okay, did you introduce Vanda already?
No.
You do Vanda and you do yourself.
Vanda,
then we can Vanda. I meant Vanda.
I didn't see you. Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Send me and profile you because I'm too old.
No,
too
you never do that. It's only experience.
To read everything.
Maybe. Yeah. I met Vanda. My first ICANN meeting was in Sao Paulo in 2006.
I've been here
I
since
must confess that even though I was working on my PhD about ICANN and about internet governance in Latin America, I had no idea what was going on around. And many people went back and forth, all in English, in Sao Paulo. It was strange. And she was a member of the board at that time. She doesn't remember me, but I look at her and I said, no. Wow, there's a woman in the board of ICANN. And she's from here. She's from Brazil.
Latin America.
Latin America. So since then, I've been following her, and I'm glad that I can attend several of the things that she organizes. She's a leader in our region, and she's a leader in Latin America and in ICANN. She's very respected, and she had many roles. She was a board member. She was a non-com chair. She chairs the vice chair of the ALAC, the GAC. What else, Vanda? Everything. ESAC. She's an engineer as well. And myself, very briefly, I am an engineer. I was lucky. My parents didn't complain when I decided to study engineering, which was good. Fine, whatever you want. The only thing that we want is that you go to the university. We will support you. And whatever you like, that's it. I studied engineering because I like mathematics. And in fourth year of my career, I wanted to leave the career because I realized it was not about only mathematics and physics. It was about doing things with that. And I said, what I'm doing, I'm not interested. And then I said, why not? I'm almost done. I was a good student, and I finished, and I always worked in very interesting projects, so I'm very happy. I did finish, and I didn't change the career at the time. I was very young. And I was one of the 6 women among 50 men at that time in the 70s. And I do several things, but you can check that online. I won't go through those details. Yeah. So we have shared with you some questions. We already talked about our different perspectives and careers. One question that we have is challenges that we found in our careers, and when we were pairing the panel. Finally, we were going to have only one man as panelist, and Aisha told me, "Did you think that's weird?" And I said, "We are accustomed to be the only women in among many men, so that's okay. That's balanced as well. So maybe we can share about experiences that personally encountered in our careers." Banda has told one that I like very much, the one about the bathroom closed. Can you share that?
Yeah, that's the first challenge when I entered into the engineer university. There was only men's rooms. So we have time to go to the bathroom. So, and you can imagine the message I got when it's right in the walls, right in the door, as a welcome to me. But it was really a good experience. It was more than 40 years ago. And I'm glad that I had a lot of very good colleagues, you know, friends from the university, other colleagues with my age, because professors is another story. Yeah? Professors didn't like the idea to have myself looking at them all the time. So they sent me back home every class. Every class I went to, they just look at me and said, you shouldn't be here. You should, you know, make coffee for your husband. That was okay. It was an interesting thing, but I decided to revenge. And in the end of the first year, during the you know, the oral examination, this specific, this professor that was so bad on that, you know, I had enough grades to pass through. So when they call me, I talk with the dean and said, well, I would like another one to make the examination for me because I believe he is not in my size to do that. He has no knowledge enough to examine me. So every colleague applauded me. I got zero, of course. But it was enough for me, for them, to, you know, eliminate the problems inside the university. Because it was enough for people to realize that we will not be there accepting anything that is not, you know, what we deserve. We deserve the same respect that the other colleagues. We had grades, same grades. We had a good student. Why treat us like that? So finish the problem. So during my career, I really didn't face too much challenge about, you know, to be the only woman, you can imagine, 40 years ago, and to be the only woman in many places. And I went very high. I was National Secretary for Information Technology. I was president of a patent office in Brazil. I've been a National Secretary for Technology itself. So I have been, you know, general manager of a microelectronics company, whatever. So I could reach all the place I had the chance to go. So I believe that once you face the problem in the first moment, you get enough strong capacity to face all the others. And, you know, other challenge, maybe you even don't have perception that is happening around you. You just go and, you know, the others can manage themselves. Not our problem anymore. So that was my presence. But one thing that I would like to say, that's, you know, in the life, we need good partners. For a friend partner, husband, whatever you have in your side, you need someone that supports you and, you know, believes that you go further than you are. So I do believe that we need to fight for these two. Thank you.
Thank you, Wanda. Sure.
Thanks, Wanda, and thanks, Aisha. This is Maria speaking. I think those are incredibly inspirational stories. But I want to push back a little bit because I think what we have here is what, as a trained social scientist, we would call survivor bias. Yes. You know, you guys are the guys who got there. You guys are the guys who, especially as the engineers amongst this group, are the ones who pushed back against Daddy when he said, you know, science and maths and engineering, that's not for girls. You're the ones who pushed back against that. And that, I would say, probably 3 out of 4, maybe 9 out of 10, you know, girls, 9, 10, 12 years old, they probably would go, oh, okay, world I didn't know before, but I guess I shouldn't be doing that. So, you know, when I think about this stuff, I think about what do we need to do to stop girls hearing those messages? Because and how do we get girls to not, you know, how do we stop them dropping out of science and STEM subjects, you know, when they're teenagers? You know, social science is pretty clear on this. I'm in a single-sex school, and more of them pick maths, and more of them do science, and more of them speak up class. Now, that's not a great answer for everybody. Works. So I kind of think of this as this is an exceptional panel of women here, and it's an exceptional room full of women here. Guys are the exception, and I would love if I would one day come to an ICANN meeting and most of the women here were kind of mediocre, were kind of ordinary, and didn't have to be superheroes, you know, to actually be here.
I mean, jokes aside, I think that's a very good objective to have. And I totally agree with you, Maria, about the point about culture. You know, I've read somewhere that you can go to a large clothing store. It's a famous U.S. clothing store chain called Forever 21 or mm-hmm. Forever Young or something like that.
Forever 21,
and
yes.
You can buy a T-shirt which says allergic to algebra for young girls. And that's sending a wrong signal. And that's why I volunteer for an organization called Girls to Pioneers, which is UN funded, which exposes girls to mathematics and science. And then there's another organization in US called Girls Who Code, you know, focusing just specifically on making girls realize it's cool to code, it's cool to be a scientist. So I think you raise a very valid point. Sorry, Kathy, you wanted to say something. Please.
Rhonda said, the part lot to that, growing up, I was fortunate and grew up in a family of two girls, and my father felt out about 99% of the time, but what he did was he always told us, there's nothing that you can't do, and I grew up assuming that there was nothing I can't do, and it wasn't until I was at university that I realized not everybody grew up like that. And it was a real surprise, like, wow. I went into a traditional female job at the time, or school. I was going to be a nurse, which now has come in handy doing internet governance because there's a lot of wounds to heal. I had no idea I was going to use it now. But the one thing, again, back to what Vonda said, I was the first woman to get promoted to a central office supervisor in one of the baby bells. I got promoted because I'm a female. There was absolutely no doubt. I met a quota, and I'm fine with that. It really doesn't bother me because that's not why I kept the job. You have to work and prove it, and I had the part of the crew I had was all guys, and it was some guys that had been in